that place be able to make a right verdict whether there was fault or no fault, whether there was truth or there was no truth. And so he had this question that was seemingly haunting him. And when Jesus, I'm amazed, when Jesus talks to you, when the Lord Himself speaks to you, how He always has a way of bringing to the forefront the things that you ponder on. What an all-knowing, all-sufficient Savior. Amen. There is not one thing that God has ever learned. He knows it all. Amen. He doesn't ask His questions to angels to seek counsel. He already knows. He's had a plan from the beginning. Right. And He's been sticking to that plan ever since the world began. And He'll continue to stick to His plan before, during this service and all throughout the future and throughout eternity. What a wonderful Savior that is tonight.
Yes.
Now we in turn are learning of Him. The Bible tells us that Jesus said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart." And He talks about His burden, His life, and His yoke is even without struggle, without weight. And so what a wonderful Lord tonight to know. The Bible tells us that throughout the ages we'll be learning of His grace. Imagine heaven, as we touched on it some last night, that there will be a time that ceases and there will be eternity. That will forever and ever and ever and ever be learning about God and His grace. It is an amazing immensity of His knowledge to try to ponder on the things of God. But now then, the Lord has dealt with Pilate. And during this course of conversation, we find Jesus is asked a series of questions. And He in turn answers questions with questions, as oftentimes the rabbinical teachers would. But now here we see, as if in a sense He has stepped out of that mold and is speaking from His deity as God Himself. And He says this, He said, "To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world." And that's a wonderful thing to ponder on, as Paul told Timothy in his first epistle. He said, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." 1 Timothy 1 and 18. Now then we find here that he says this, "To this end I was born." In other words, the reason that I'm here, Pilate, is far beyond your ability to judge right and wrong. The reason I'm here, Pilate, is I'm fixing to die on the cross and fulfill the plan of God to redeem fallen man to Himself. And he goes on and says this. He says, "For this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." He was bearing witness of the truth. In other words, he was fulfilling what was pinned down prior to his arrival, his birth in Bethlehem. We know the Bible tells us, John chapter 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men." The Bible goes on and says, "The light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." Now then, we understand that the Word of God was there in the beginning. And so now then, as God's spoken Word was pinned down by old prophets and apostles, Moses, those patriarchs that pinned down Moses, wrote the first five books of the Old Testament. It's referred to as the Torah or the Pentateuch. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. David, King David, who was a shepherd boy, and God's hand was upon this young man, a worshiper of God and loved the Lord, and was God's chosen king for Israel, penned down several psalms. His son Solomon wrote the book of Proverbs and Song of Solomon and Ecclesiastes. All throughout the Old Testament, we find prophets of Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel, and they all speak of Christ. Even on into the minor prophet stage, where we have men like Daniel and Hosea and Amos and Micah and Nahum and Habakkuk and all these minor prophets who also pinned down according to the leading and the influence of the Holy Spirit, things that were to be prophesied, to be written about the Lord Jesus Christ. So when He came, He fulfilled everything that was written down. There have been men way smarter than all of us put together that have tried to disprove this book. And not one has been able to do it. They asked one old preacher, why don't we write a book to defend the Bible? And he replied and said, the Bible don't need no defense of any kind. Right. It's well able to defend itself.
Right.
And now you think with me tonight as we look at the Word of God, how it's been put together over a span of several hundred years. Men, the things that Moses wrote about and yet the things that Habakkuk wrote about, they have never one time met one another, never read one another's things. And then yet how can a book be so divinely put together and authored that it just fits together as pearls on a string? And it is a beautiful thing tonight. It is absolute truth. So now then we find, as the Lord Jesus fulfilled all of those bits of truth in the Word of God and is still yet fulfilling truth in the world as we see His plan and His future unfold concerning Israel and the church, His body. So now then we find here this question that Pilate said. He said, everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Jesus again replying to Pilate's question. In other words, He's saying that if they can hear me, then they understand that my truth is in them. And I am in them. Now, we know the Bible tells us in 1 John chapter number 1, the Bible says, if we say that we have fellowship with Him, speaking about Jesus, and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
Right.
However, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us.
Right.
So this issue of truth tonight, as we see it unfold in the book of John itself, where the question is penned, we find the word truth mentioned 22 times in the entirety of John's gospel. We find, Brother Tony, the word true, a derivative of truth, mentioned 19 times in the gospel of John. And so there are some things tonight that God, I believe, wants us to know about truth. Speaking about those that everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice, my mind goes back to the book of John when he is speaking about the good shepherd. And there in chapter 10 he says, I am the good shepherd, and my sheep know me, and they hear my voice. And so now then there is a connection to who he is speaking of. And then Pilate makes a rebuttal to his statement and said unto him, what is truth? And there's no doubt things on television that we can look and see what is truth. The Bible has told us that there is that God would provide Himself a sacrifice for our sins. As Abraham goes up the hill, Mount Moriah, with Isaac, and the wood and the knife and the fire, Isaac says, "But Father, where is the sacrifice?" And Abraham answered and said, "The Lord will provide Himself a sacrifice." In other words, he's not saying God will provide for Himself a sacrifice, but he speaks prophetically and saying God will provide Himself a sacrifice. According to Romans chapter 3, the Bible tells us, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And in verse 25 it says, "In whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say, at this time His righteousness, that He might be the just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus." And so God has had an eternal plan throughout the ages. He's tried to show man that plan from the beginning. When Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, as they come out of after they have sinned and disobeyed God, ate of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and Eve passed on the fruit to Adam. They both sinned, disobeyed God. They went and hid themselves in the garden and made fig leaves, aprons of fig leaves. It was something they was trying to make with their own hands to cover up their sin, their wrong, their disobedience, their rebellion against God. And God comes in the garden, and He asks them a question. And He says to them, He calls out Adam and says, "Adam, where art thou?" And Adam, God's not asking a question to Adam because he don't know where they are. He asking them a question because He wants them to know that God knows where they are. So now then, Adam and Eve come out and confront God. And they face the Lord there in Genesis chapter 3. And it's God that speaks to them and says, "Did you partake of the fruit that I said don't eat of?" And Adam did what most folks do, what all folks do when God points out sin in their life. He says, "Lord, it was the woman. The woman that you gave me, Lord, she done it." Always putting it off on somebody else. Always pushing the excuse off on somebody else. I've heard it over and over again with the Indians, how they say, "Well, the reason that I am the way that I am, the reason I steal, lie, and cheat, it's because of my father. He didn't raise me right. It's because I didn't have any clothes growing up." I've heard all the excuses. And then when God even asked Eve, He said, "Eve, did you eat the fruit that I told you not to eat of?" And she said, "It was the serpent. It beguiled me." Always pushing it off on somebody else. But somewhere in that mix, in that scene, they come clean with God. They come out from those aprons man-made of fig leaves. And they said, "Lord, we've tried to hide our sin. We've tried to hide our wrong. And Lord, here we are naked before you." And God, in His grace and mercy, didn't have to. According to that book there, in Romans chapter 3, God, being all-knowing, all-powerful, ruler of the universe, had every right by His holiness to cast man into hellfire right there on the spot. But because of His forbearance or His long-suffering or what He saw in the future, He said, "I will begin to teach and show you what I have planned before the world began." And He kills an animal of some kind. The Bible don't say what it was, but I believe personally, based on what Abel offered up, I believe it was a lamb. And he killed this animal and made coats of skins and put this cloak on them. And they understood for the first time that there must be remission. There must be shedding of blood before there is remission. Before there is the taking away of sin. So now then Adam leaves the garden. They're expelled from the garden. And he passes on this same truth to his son, his children, Cain and Abel. We touched on it last night. It was Abel that offered up of his firstlings. What a wonderful truth in the Word of God.